We are recording. Hey, Andrew. Hey, Chris. How's it going, everybody? Let's start with tour dates. You got anything, Andrew?
Nope.
Okay, cool. Chris Mejia is with us. I'll tell you a few things I have. I'm going to be in Glendale, Arizona at Stir Crazy Comedy Club February 5th and 6th. Opening for Dwayne Perkins, I think, which is fun time. It's also the
Oh,
same
yeah.
weekend as the Waste Management Golf Tournament, so that's why I finagled my way in. I was like, I'll do any spot just so I can go to Arizona and go to this golf tournament. And then, oh yeah, Tulsa, Oklahoma at the Looney Bin, February 24th through 27th. That's all I have. But if you're in one of those places, come see a show. And then every second Sunday of the month, we're doing our virtual show, Everett Comedy Night. Still, which is tonight, but this will be released after the show, so don't worry about it. February, oh, we aren't going to do it on Valentine's Day. No, we'll do it. Well, actually, maybe we should. Nobody can go out,
A
so
date
maybe
night, you know?
we'll
Curl up
see
by
what
the
the we'll,
Zoom.
huh. We'll see what Washington State decides. Yeah, people will start making out during the show and banging. Turn your video off.
Just want to say
Turn it on.
when you were saying your dates, it made me realize I'm a dumb person, because when you said Waste Management Golf Tour, I thought it was just a golf tournament of people who work in waste management. So I thought, you know what? I guess Corey quit being a teacher and started working in trash.
Well, I've been working in trash since I got a divorce, but yeah.
Hey.
Well, boy. Waste management, it does sound like the
Getting
worst
a
golf.
phone call after this.
It does sound like the worst golf tour, right? Like you guys, waste management. That's the sponsor, and it's the party golf tournament. Like number 16, the 16th hole, they just make a big stadium and you can yell and scream and heckle the players. It's the
Oh.
only hole on tour they let you do that, and it's so I don't know what they're gonna do. That they're gonna have limited capacity this year, but I submitted to be a volunteer just so I could like go and watch the tournament. But we'll see if they let me.
I re that reminds me. I remember in college, for like this all of the soccer games, like there was always like a specific section right behind where the goalies were, and like the fans would always like go to the opposing goalie side, and they would research who the goalie was. So then when they would yell out heckles, it was very specific. It was just like one person would be like, "That's why your girlfriend cheated on you," and it's just like really cutting deep. It was beautiful. Love it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Huh. Well, do you
I
have
used to do
any
that at minor league stadiums. I'd go, "Your parents aren't proud of you." And then it's fun.
Oh man, that's what people do at my shows. Do you Chris, do you have any virtual shows or tour dates coming up?
None at the moment, but if you follow me on social media at Topher Mejia, TOPHERMEJIA, when I do have an upcoming virtual show, I'll be posting about it there. And it's the same handle for Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
Awesome. And we'll talk about your podcast a little bit later. But if you like podcasts, he has a great one. I think now it's time for the jokes after a 3 second pause. We don't like to edit. Welcome home, everybody, to the
Welcome
Homeschool
home.
Podcast episode 25. Happy New Year. Only took 5 days for it to be worse than 2020. Hey. But since Parler has been taken down, not sure anyone is going to even hear this, right? How was your week, Andrew? What's up?
A girl I was trying to date over the summer appeared on national television with a vibrator, so a simple no
Ah.
thanks would have sufficed.
Yeah. Our friend Katie Thurston appeared on The Bachelor this week. She said she brought the vibrator for support, but now that they're cracking down on service animals, I'm surprised they let her fly with a rabbit.
Oh,
What is the story about
is that the
you
brand
two?
name for a vibrator?
Oh, you don't know about rabbits?
I don't know the brand. I know what a vibrator is. I just don't know the names of the brands.
Well, some of them have like extensions that go out and like curl up or something like that.
Oh, I
So
know the. Oh, that's what those are
the
called?
two
Okay.
ears. The
Listen,
two
I fuck.
ears.
All right, I fuck.
I I have to use a toy to get girls off, so I'm familiar. But
those two little ears that vibrate on the clip, that's the rabbit ears. So.
Okay. Sorry, yeah. Continue.
Well, no, it's fine. Yeah, we'll explain all the jokes.
Perfect. Katie, by the way, what is the story about you guys? Did you date? Like, what happened?
I wouldn't say we dated. I mean, girls I meet don't really stick around long enough to meet the family, you know?
Right. They like meet you and they're like, ah, that's plenty.
Yeah. We've seen where this goes. Yeah. So I met her on Tinder like 6 years ago, and I got drunk enough to ask her to come home with me, and she got drunk enough to say yes. And we were about to hook up, but then she got a nosebleed and was bleeding all over my face. Kind of killed the mood.
Ah, come on. Never stop for a little bit of blood, right?
Yeah. I mean, not from her face, though. Like, come on.
Ah, okay. Good point. Sex is supposed to be rough, but maybe not that rough, right? Plus, I've never pictured you for, like, an aggressive lover. You know, you're dangerous. You wear a mask. You're like Batman, if he used his parents' money to start a podcast.
I'm not an aggressive lover at all, you know. Some girls like a guy that'll like throw her against the wall and kiss her in the right moment, but I never know when the moment is right. Like, I could be making out with a girl and I'd be like, "Are you sure about this? If my friends put you up to this, you can leave. I'll make sure you get paid still. It's fine."
There's also not a machine at the gym that trains you for that. Like, so like, what if you were hooking up with someone and you were like, I want to please my partner, I want to do, you know, the stuff that turns them on, but then you don't have the technique to properly, you know, throw someone. Like, for example, I've always wanted to, like, you know, pick up a girl while we're hooking up and like hold her while we're, you know, doing the thing, but you don't commonly pick up someone, so like, and you don't want to wince, you don't want to be like, ugh. So like, there's no
you're so heavy.
That just kills the mood, and there's no machine.
I would think you
gym.
Have to pick up a girl just because you're so short. You know, you just gotta
listen. I'm 5'7". I am average.
Well, also, you don't want to go and like buy home to Home Depot and buy a bunch of bags of cement. You'll end up on Dateline.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I go up to girls in the gym like, hey, can I practice just picking you up real quick? I want to see. That's why they call them love handles.
Yeah. You either look like a creep at Home Depot or the gym. Either way, I'm just trying to please my partner. All right. I'm not a creep. I just want to perfect the technique so it's sexier.
I think that's what the people do with the squat bar when they're like oh, the squat bar, you know. That seems like a real good technique to work on.
I'm lucky, by the way. I haven't had to work, like, it's been a relaxing year for me. I got one of those pandemic survival boxes at the start. That's what I call my girlfriend.
Oh, okay. A pandemic survival box. What comes in that?
Not me.
Oh, okay, good.
Big news. I come on the back of the box.
Oh, okay.
Big news, by the way. Chrissy Teigen has been sober for 4 months. Congratulations. And also, how hard is that? You live in a mansion. You have so many bedrooms to clean in this house. Oh, I'm going to have to hire a maid. This is really stressful. I need a drink.
Yeah. I mean, my brother is sober too, but he lives in Calabasas. It's not that hard to be sober there. He just trades vegan peanut butter coffee recipes with his billionaire neighbor, and he's got a pretty good life, but I don't need an essay lecturing me about it, you know? Why can't people just get along? You know, you just bike with your kids to your neighbor's free-range llama petting zoo, and you trade them some of your homemade maple syrup, and you just talk like real people. What is everybody bitching about? I don't get it.
In 75-degree sunny weather every single day by the ocean. Perfect time, by the way, to mention the CEO of Whole Foods, who is facing backlash after he said the best solution is for people to eat healthy and then you won't need health care, right? Yeah, if I stop paying my health care premium, I might actually be able to afford to shop at Whole Foods.
You hear that? If you get cancer, it's because you didn't drink enough pomegranate juice. Now get on down to Whole Foods, where pomegranate juice is $7.99. I know that's your hourly salary, but don't you want to experience all the joys life has to offer instead of dulling your senses with drugs and alcohol?
No.
I just want to say I would much rather get sick than eat celery. So fuck that guy.
I don't fly. Yeah, I don't ever floss, and that celery's a pain in the ass. But On the plus side, by the way, of doing it, pomegranate juice does kind of look like blood, so you don't know what you're coughing up.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Ignorance is the best medicine. That's what they say.
Right?
I don't know. It sounds like he could use a nice warm glass of shut the fuck up. I don't know. He has a point. I mean, we should all eat healthier, but you shouldn't have to rely on healthcare. But, you know, can't we do both? Like, is there a happy medium?
Right. This is what you silly libtards don't understand. When Donald Trump is trying to take away your health care, it's so you can learn to walk on your own. Literally, because you cannot afford crutches.
Right. I mean, if we're being honest, the best solution is Donald Trump kills himself. But we know that's not going to happen. So let's focus on some other options.
Right.
Anyway, speaking of reality shows, this week we watched Survivor C-SPAN. Very exciting. The Capitol building was stormed on Wednesday. It's pretty sad. The only watchable C-SPAN programming is surveillance video. But, you know, the politicians won't be deterred. You can't stop us. We're going to continue to work.
Oh, wow. Bold talk from folks who took 3 months off since August during a global pandemic while businesses were closed and federal aid had run out. Well, we needed a vacation. Unlike you guys, we've had jobs this whole time.
Yeah. I've never seen something so, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say when they were storming the Capitol, I just felt bad because I knew there was a bunch of Oshkosh Bagoshes closed because all of their employees were in DC.
Bass Pro Shops were empty everywhere. It's a real tough day. I've never seen something so predictable yet unbelievable at the same time since Trump did nothing about coronavirus. But the good news is he's in jail now. Facebook jail. So
yeah. Couldn't we do better than that? Trump is now banned from pretty much every social media app. Snapchat is the only social media Trump is allowed to use. I don't think anymore, by the way, since the posts delete automatically, which is perfect because most of his followers have yet to develop object permanence. We had to Google that joke, Phil.
It's all part of his plan.
That'd be funny if he was even like banned on Candy Crush, like he couldn't even log on that
Someone
shit.
Someone put out a meme, I stole it for Facebook, but it was like, he's banned from Calculator, he's banned from the Chris D'Elia app. That was so funny.
Chris D'Elia had an app?
Yeah, man, that's the new, I've had a couple people hit me up like, you gotta get an app. I'm like, nobody cares that much about me. But
that one
this
guy,
is all part of his plan.
Oh, yeah.
Trump is obviously playing 3D chess with the media.
Oh, no, he's banned from that app also.
Gosh, shit.
Apple is threatening to remove Parler from the App Store if they don't implement a moderation plan, right? Like, two posts is the new midnight. All right, inside baseball.
Yeah, you've had enough conspiracies for one night. Time to go home. I should have cut you off at Flat Earth, but then now you're too wasted on QAnon to drive the internet.
Just give me some more Q.
Come on, maybe just one more. Hey, Democrats are calling for DC statehood after the riots. And now Republicans, after blaming Antifa, are also asking for a 51st state, the state of denial.
Good thing they already have those Confederate flags ready to go. There's been accusations that it was actually Antifa who stormed the Capitol building. There's no way hippies are that ambitious and organized, right? Just go to Portland. Every shop is like, we're open Tuesday, Sunday, and every Thursday if the moon cycle allows. And don't even try to buy kombucha if Mercury is in retrograde.
That would be some
I got
shit.
An alert on my phone that said Democrats gained control of the Senate. But as I was watching TV, I was like, are you sure about that?
Oh, man, we have already forgot about that the Senate was flipped because of the Georgia runoffs. Republicans didn't make a good showing. Guess they were all headed to the Capitol building. Trump tried to tell them to not mail it in. Never works.
Well, they don't listen. But
fraudulent.
Even Axe Body Spray had to denounce the riots after a photo showed up with one of their cans on the floor of the Capitol. What people don't know is this was actually just a publicity stunt to announce their newest scent, well-regulated militia.
Smells like incel.
smells actually, like my mom's basement.
I will say Axe body spray probably could have put up a better defense than the cops at the Capitol, because anytime you spray that in a room, no one wants to be inside there. Like,
instead of fucking,
is that pepper spray? No, it's an axe.
That's really funny.
Is that pepper spray? No, it's virginity. You might want to stick out of it.
We can save. That's how we defund the police, right? We cut their budget instead of tear gas. They already have Axe body spray that they just bring it from home. You know, something like that. It's pretty good.
Oh man. Well, speaking of a house divided, Kim Kardashian is finally getting rid of a giant boob that gives her headaches. She and Kanye are reportedly getting a divorce. It's too bad. Hope he has a good surgeon to split up her assets.
If you want to boo that one, that's fine. But hey, in case you forgot, there's a raging pandemic out of control that Trump did absolutely nothing about. But don't worry, the vaccine rollout is under control. In New York State, there is a $100,000 fine if you waste a vaccine, which means give it to Corey. And a $1 million fine if you give the vaccine to someone out of order. So now I have a new vaccination plan, digging through trash cans to find half-used needles.
Either way, it'll be helpful, right? Get you high. Speaking of just the flu, as I call it, LA hospitals are running out of oxygen and telling ambulances to not bring people to the hospital if they're not likely to be saved. Who gets to decide if I'm worth bringing to the hospital, by the way? Is it like the ambulance driver? I'm not driving all the way to Everett. Ugh, it's dangerous.
Yeah, his Uber rating is only 4.7. He's going to be a terrible passenger here.
He should have just drank more pomegranate juice, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I know my chances of hooking up with Kim Kardashian are low, but as a taxpayer, I still deserve a shot, you know? Hello, this is 911. What's your credit score?
This is an emergency?
Yeah, we'll decide that. How likely are you to die? We don't want to waste an ambulance if you're just going to croak anyway.
Oh, I don't know. Not that likely?
Perfect. You don't need an ambulance anyway. Goodbye.
That brings us to our sponsor for the week, Rocket Loans. Get your rapid credit score faster than you can get to the hospital. Or an ambulance, or before. Do you guys know your credit score, by the way? That's a 700s, I think, is mine.
It's either low 700s or high 600s. Mm. I have a high.
I have an outstanding. I have an outstanding. Not credit score, but an outstanding ticket in Spokane that I keep getting.
Yeah, I never
letters from collections about, and I'm like, is this gonna matter to at all anyway? Somehow, I don't think so.
I mean, what are you gonna buy? A new car, you know?
Yeah, I know. I already have all the things I need that I needed credit for. They don't put you in jail for like outstanding. I don't know.
They don't put you in jail for being a broke bitch.
Not unless you.
I mean, I never pay like. Like parking tickets and all, I just go, hey, come find me. I don't know. Especially if it's like a private, if it's the state or whatever, I usually pay those. I don't really get them anymore. But if it's like a private lot that's just like, we left an envelope and we're going to be mad, I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, by the way, all those private lots, you can call and just be like, oh, I forgot, I'm sorry. And then they'll go, oh, yeah. Okay, how long were you parked there? And they're like, 2 hours. And like, oh, I just pay the original $7 then.
Yeah, because they know they have no power.
Right.
I will say, when you said come find me, like, I know you mean like, hey, if you want me to pay, come to my house and try to arrest me.
But that
also kind of sounds like if someone was lonely enough, they're just like, I'm not going to pay my parking ticket, so someone has to come to me and hang out.
That also applies.
Hey, you owe me... a Venmo for that date we had. Well, come find me, please.
come to my house.
Also, false premise. I can't get a date.
That's fun.
Speaking of dates, what's the deal with this Bachelor podcast? Have you loved The Bachelor the whole time? Have you just gotten into it?
So
it's a
recent thing. Couple, I think 2 or 3 years ago, I started a job at a new office, and the women in the office do a bracket for the Bachelorette.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, I was like, you know, I'm new here. I want to fit in. It seems like,
is it who will fuck first, or is it?
It's so, I mean, that would be better, but actually now that I think about it, technically, cause you do a bracket on who you think is going to get eliminated. And then the top four end up doing honeymoon suite where they fuck. Basically ABC's like, here's a hotel room with a shit ton of condoms and lube. And then we're just gonna
stay in the same bed. Or...
It's you could. Well, so there's basically like whoever's the Bachelor Bachelorette's like, here's the key to the room. Would you like to come with me? And everyone always said yes. They're like, I'm gonna at least get my nut off before I dip on the show. And I was like, the people who do the bracket, they seem like the popular people of the office. I want to fit in, so I'm gonna do it. And I've never been into reality shows, nothing. And I made a bracket. Well, I was going to make a bracket. They're like, you can watch the first episode. This was Becca Cuffring's season. And they're like, you can make a watch the first episode, then make a bracket. So I watched the first episode and I was like, yo, this shit is trash. I don't know. I don't understand why people like this. This is clearly and obviously fake and manipulated. And like, I get they watch it. Like women watch this for love, but like, it's all fake. Why the fuck would you watch this? And then I submitted my bracket and we paid to like be in the bracket. So I was like, well, I might as well keep watching.
It's like an NCAA tournament.
Yeah, basically. And I was like, I got to keep watching.
Come on, Baylor. Not even in.
My team's not even in. But
and then the next episode, I was like, all right, this is still trash, but like there's some like enjoyable trash. I'm having fun making fun of the show. So I'm going to keep watching it. And then next, you know, 3 or 4 episodes later, I'm like standing, yelling at my TV, like, how the fuck could you choose Blake? He's a total package. He has a great job. He has emotional intelligence. Clearly he goes to therapy, but no, you're going to give John the fucking and then I realize, oh, I'm in too deep. Now I'm into the show.
It's too late.
So now I
better just go all in and start a podcast.
Oh, now I'm all in. Like, I not only watch The Bachelor and Bachelorette and Paradise, I also like read the gossip on like the people who used to be on the show. And I'm in too deep. I know it. And I acknowledge it's terrible. Like everyone. Sure. One thing I've noticed, everyone I know who is a fan of the franchise, we all know it sucks. We know that. We know it's the WWE of romance. Like, we know it's fake.
Yeah.
We don't care it's fake. We want just...
I think when you look at it, like, it's a... Like, when it's... I was listening to, I think it's, like, the trail... something, Cut the Stem or some podcast about The Bachelor, and they were, like... They were talking about it as if it was football, where they're like, oh, this character came in and played this move. That's a strong move. They know... And they're like, they have analytics for The Bachelor. They're like, look, if you're in the same room as the first impression rose, there's just zero chance you're going to get it. So you got to, when you see that first impression rose, you got to bounce. And I'm like, oh, and then it made me think, cause I know Katie and how manipulative of a dater she is. I was like, she's perfect for this, you know, like she's going to be great. And yeah, like, I could see her scheming and I was like texting her during the thing. I'm like, are you writing these jokes? You're like really funny. Cause she's like doing the one-on-ones with the camera. Like these bitches didn't come prepared and they're going to be sorry. And I'm like, you're fucking ruthless. Like, I think if you go in thinking like,
she knew. Yeah.
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 It's definitely, if you go on, that's the thing though. I will say the show is on the downhill because it's becoming more and more obvious. Like who's going on the show to be either an influencer or get screen time. And there's still people who are like, I really am looking for love. And then there's some people who are like, for example, a woman on Matt James's season right now, her name is Victoria. She calls herself the queen. She says she's from California, but she radiates so much New Jersey energy. And like, she's clearly someone who half of me is like, you're clearly on the show to be an influencer. And the other half of me is like, no, this is just, you're horrible because this is who you are as a person. You're just a horrible person. And like, I will say there are a lot of people like, so they know how to play the game. Cause there's usually like,
but that's the thing too, is like a producer has to okay her being brought in as the queen and having slaves carry her and like give her, like they want it to be entertaining. So they're like, look, if you're going to make an ass out of yourself, we're not going to stop you.
It's kind of, so like Victoria got a rose in night one and clearly it's because
everyone was like, Yeah.
100%.
Producers will always be like, Matt, I know you're looking for love and this is your journey, but listen here, bitch, we have 9 episodes we need to film and we need to at least get people committed to episode 5. So you're going to
get canceled.
Yeah. You want to get canceled. So you're going to need to keep these toxic people on your show at least until week 4. And then from there, sure, it can be about you and your feelings, but for weeks 1 through 4, keep 100%. This toxic person, keep this.
So is
toxic
that when
person.
You think Victoria gets voted off is week 4?
So with the
There'll
show,
you filled out your bracket. Can you share your bracket with us?
I think Victoria makes it to like week 3 or 4. I think there's always a decoy villain and then a true villain. The decoy villain is the person who right out of the gate, you're like, oh, this is the villain. This is the bad person. And then they don't get a rose. And then the real bad person kind of emerges where they flew under the radar the whole time because of the decoy villain. And then now they're in the later parts of the season where they're fucking things up for the Bachelor and Bachelorette and causing a mess and spilling tea and all that shit. Like, for example, on Peter Weber's season, who Peter Weber is fucking like unseasoned mayo, which mayo is already unseasoned. So just like make it even worse. He's Miracle Whip. That's basically what he is. He's the most boring person. I fucking hate Peter Weber. If you're listening to this and you find Peter Weber attractive, you need to go to therapy. And if you are going to therapy, go to a new therapist because clearly it's not working. There was a woman named Victoria F who at the beginning of the season seemed like awkward, but sincere. And then later on the rest of end of the season, you find out that like she's super toxic. She had a lot of rumors where in her hometown she would consistently fuck married men and like even went to like her best friend's wedding and fucked the groom at the wedding, and the groom was the groom of her best, like one of her best friends, and she like hooked up with him and like she was like that's the real villain.
That's like the plot of Palm Springs, kind of. Have you seen Palm Springs? Amazing. Anyway, very good movie. But so the woman literally, and then she became the toxic one later in the season.
Yeah. So like at the beginning of the season, you didn't really think anything of her because there was a different woman, Aaliyah, I think her name, or Elena's Aaliyah, who she was like the decoy villain. She was right out of the gate, a piece of shit. And then she left episode 3 or 4, and you're just like, okay, I guess Peter now can find love. And then that's when Victoria F rose like the fucking Phoenix and was like, I'm a ruin your day, bitch. And then it was great. I mean,
what are your thoughts on Katie this season? Like, cause we want to shit talk her. She might listen to this. Do you think she's good?
Are you okay?
You think she's I love it. I think it's good. We're friends. We're cool.
Okay.
But you know, I just like making fun of her. She wants to get into comedy, and she wants to be she tried to get on radio jobs for like Jubal and stuff whenever those openings came available. So she's just using this for entertainment purposes.
My honest opinion is the whole bringing the Viper thing I thought was genuinely hilarious. I truly thought that was funny. Like if I was Matt James, I would just be like, that's funny. Like that's like the fact that she just came up and tried to exchange a vibrator for Matt James's dick. Like it was like customer service at Target. Like that's hilarious to me. Where it's just like, this bad boy's got a lot of miles, but I'm ready for a new motto. If you know what I'm saying. That was hilarious to me. And it was also, I will say there was a moment in night one where this girl, Mari, who she's Puerto Rican. And as someone who's half Puerto Rican, I got to ride or die. And also she's hot.
She might go far.
She was talking, she was like, yeah, so, you know, I'm from Puerto Rico and all that. And Matt James was like, oh, I'm very sorry about, you know, everything that happened, hurricanes. And she was like, thank you. And then she's talking about how the hurricanes always affect her family because Puerto Rico is always the first one to catch a fade every time there's a natural disaster. And as she's talking about this, Katie comes up behind Mari, and most people like, it's a common thing on the show. No matter what they're talking about, the next contestant comes up like, hey, can I steal the person? That's a normal thing. But what Katie did was that she walked up and with the vibrator tapped Mari's shoulder and was like, I'm so sorry to interrupt. Me and my vibrator want to talk to, well, she didn't say vibrator, but it was just basically like in that tone. And just the rest of the night, Mari's like not stopping talking about the fact that she got one tapped on the shoulder by a vibrator, which I'm sure was clean and I'm sure was washed and all that. But like, you don't care. Like, no one's going to be like, oh, a clean vibrator. Like you're still touching me. with a vibrator when I'm talking about my family who didn't have power for 3 months straight. Like
yeah,
that.
My penis is clean usually, but if I tap it on your shoulder, you're like, oh, I just washed it. So.
Yeah, it's just skin. No. Come on. Not a big deal. It's like my finger. Same size. It's
the same.
But no, that was hilarious to me. I think, I mean, it's still night one, so I have no, I'm more preoccupied with Kit, who I think is just an entitled rich person.
So that's what when you said like there's a secret villain. Yeah.
So I don't know who the secret villain is yet.
She jumped out because she was like, she was trying to,
I'm
she
the
pulled
CEO
up in the Bentley.
And the president and the, that girl.
Which that, yeah, that shit was hilarious because Kit was like, she says she's the queen, but I'm the CEO and the king. And it's like, well, first off, CEO is below queen.
Way so lower.
You demoted yourself.
I made that joke twice, by the way. And yes. They aired it. And they aired it twice, which is our joke.
Because the ABC producers
I'm the
are
executive producer. That's way lower than
I'm the showrunner. And
that was on purpose because the ABC producers are the messiest bitches in humanity's history because they're like, oh, she just did something that makes yourself look stupid. Run it again.
Love it.
Yeah, I don't know who the secret villain is yet. It's because they edit it well enough where it really does usually come out of nowhere. And
because they showed some previews that looked like Katie getting in some fights, and I was like, oh, maybe she's gonna try and cause some problems. Is that what you think, Corey? Maybe
so. Oh, sorry.
Well,
Corey, you,
no, well, no, I just nodding because I thought it was interesting. Of like, I texted you guys, like, he seemed, I don't know, you know, he's trying to be genuine and like, I'm really looking for love and I'm a sentimental guy, so I thought like maybe the because she went with the vibrator thing the whole like it wasn't like hey and then put it away and it like it's sitting out.
Oh, I respect the commitment to the bit.
I loved it.
That is
I thought he'd
bravo.
Be like she's not, I'm not, but I'm glad he kept her. So now and then I don't know how to read the all those like previews that they do because it makes it look like ooh, she's around forever, but very well it could be episode two where they're yelling at each other for all I know.
Right.
And she's obviously going to get in a little bit of a tiff with one woman and they go at each other pretty hard. Did Mari get, I can't remember, did Mari get a rose?
Yeah, she got a rose.
Okay, so that'll be a thing. Yeah, interesting. Anyway, what do you think? Yeah.
As the way they always edit the previews, they always like make it seem like They'll always try to edit it to where some people will be like look like villains or shit like that. There is a very much a chance that whatever argument Katie is having with someone is like super minor and just happens once and then they move on. Like I remember on Peter Weber's season, there was this girl, I forget her name, but she was like super cool Asian girl, got along with everybody the whole season. And then at the very end, she like beefed with this one girl McKenna who was like 12 and like it was kind of very unnecessary beef.
Bachelor Epstein's Island.
But like it was kind of unnecessary beef, but like they made it seem like she was turning into this big villain and like McKenna was the victim, but it was just like no, it's just kind of unnecessary to, so it's like it's very much like it's hard to like your first thought is like oh, Katie's gonna turn into a villain, but you but also at the same time, it just depends on how ABC wants to edit it. Cause like there's a good chance that like someone's beef could be justified, but they don't show, you know, they don't really play.
Caused it.
Yeah. So then you just look like a bitch on national TV when it's just like, you have go ahead.
Oh, sorry. How far back does this go for you? Like 19th season, 2015.
This is Matt James. Before Matt James was Claire Crawley, who was a fucking mess. And then she got replaced.
Okay.
Yeah, she was a bachelorette. So it always goes bachelor, bachelorette, bachelor, bachelorette. And then Claire left and Tayshia took over. Before Claire's season was Peter Weber's, who was fucking god awful. Before Peter Weber was Hannah B's season, who she needed therapy before being on the show because she let toxic people stay on for too long. And then the guy who won it all, Jed, who's a who is in Nashville trying to be a musician, but his biggest credit is writing a dog food jingle. Her whole family.
Like my comedy.
Her whole family, when they met Jed, was like, we don't like him. And Hannah B the whole time was like, my family's word is very important to me, and I take very much in consideration what my family says. And then her whole family said, don't choose Jed. And then she still chose Jed, and then found out Jed had a girlfriend the whole time they were on the show. And it was one of those where it's like, Hannah B, I remember that. Yeah, it was just one of those like, Hannah B, I get men do shitty things, but that was kind of on you. Your whole family warned you. Like, everyone warned you. Before Hannah B season was Colton season. He was the virgin who played football. He sucked. And then before Colton was Becca Cuffring season. And that's when I started.
Okay. So you don't, it doesn't go back to 2015 for you. There was a, but these folks, two of them have been on Bachelor in Paradise. So maybe you've caught with Mackenzie Dienoji. She is from Renton area, and her husband, her husband, she's a widow, and that isn't nothing. Okay. Mm-mm. Julia Kinney, blonde gals. No. Okay. They came to a show at the Parlor Seattle years ago, and someone was like, those are the girls from The Bachelor. And so I was like, really? So I did like a, I'm not going to give a girl a rose joke or something like that, just that I on the spot thought of that was terrible. I didn't get a laugh. But I was in the bar. You know, Parlor Seattle had that bar. Anyway, they came out and they were like, we were on The Bachelor. That's crazy. And then we got photos and hung out, and they came to other shows. And then Julia lived in Beaverton, Oregon, and came to a show at Harvey's. And then I put the moves on her, and we made out a little bit. So that's my Bachelor. She's married with kids and doing great, it sounds like. But
there was a guy.
Yeah, fuck her.
And I watched a little bit of Bachelor.
There is a guy.
It's my kid, but yeah.
There was a guy on Becca Cuffring season who, Jason, who he worked in the building that I worked in before COVID. So like all the time, like ladies would be like, I saw Jason in the elevator. And like he could tell when people knew, like they recognized him from the show. And like, whenever I first saw him, I was just staring at him because I was just like, bro, you're taller in person than you look like on TV. And then it just made me angry. I was just like, fuck you. Like, how dare you be this tall? I will say the episode on my podcast that recaps The Bachelor and Bachelorette, we didn't get a rose. We recapped night one, and we had local comedian Monica Nevy on the show. And Monica was like, yeah, one of the contestants is from Renton, where I'm from. And she brought a vibrator. And I was just like, of course, the girl from Renton has to be the one that brings the vibrator.
Real classing up that reputation of Renton there.
Also, respect to Katie that she claimed Renton and didn't try to do some I'm from Seattle shit. Like, that's, you know what? Props to you. Own up to it.
Yeah, I never say Everett. yeah, you'll have to I didn't know if you did guests on your podcast. Now you have to have Andrew on, or I'd love to do it. And when she's allowed to, we'll have to maybe you can get Katie on the pod.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So that'd be cool.
Speaking
great.
Of depressing and angry, you're an Eagles fan.
Yeah, so first off, great
we
game.
We shouldn't look at
last
us.
Night,
we're
guys.
Still in our.
We're still sobbing for
still our Seahawks gear. We haven't changed.
You know, I totally feel that, because when you're depressed, you don't feel any motivation to change your clothes. But no, in general. I'm very much. It's funny because
I'm going to start eating healthy. I'm going to eat all this cookie dough.
It's funny because being an Eagles fan, I'm a very self-aware Eagles fan. Like, I know we suck. So, like, when people are like, the Eagles suck, I'm just like, water's wet. Like, you think you're telling me news? But it's always, I'm someone who I don't have animosity against other teams unless people try to talk shit to me. Because I feel like it's very unnecessary to talk shit to an Eagles fan. Because it's like, I'm aware we suck. Like, there's literally no reason to be, unless you're a Giants, Cowboys, or Washington fan, there's no reason to start beef with me. So when I moved here, I thought, well, you know what? Like, I'm okay with the Seahawks. I have no beef.
Whatever, yeah.
Marshawn Lynch is cool. So, yeah, sure. Maybe I'll, like, you know, like...
When did you move here?
2014.
Okay.
So right after the Super Bowl. So the year that the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl to play the Patriots, that's...
yeah. And I don't remember that game.
That's a blocked memory.
But as soon as I moved here and people were like, oh, you're going to cheer the Hawks? I'm like, oh, no, like, I'm an Eagles fan. So, you know, I only really cheer for the Eagles. People immediately talked so much shit to me. So ever since then, I've been because I'm someone who I'm petty. So if you piss me off, I will root for your downfall and I will dance on your grave. And that's what I've been doing since 2014. Yesterday was a lot of fun for me. It was a great game.
And he texted me, go Rams. I was like, oh, I didn't. Okay. We'll still have you on the podcast. man, that's cool. I get it. We have some comedian friends who nonstop talk shit about the Seahawks cause they're 49er fans. I think that's totally fine. Whatever. But I also am kind of like, oh, that's not how I root. I don't root. I want the Niners to be decent because I think it's way more fun when we're
right.
when my good friends, I'll also call them good friends, when their team is good and my team's. I think it's fun to have like a thing. If their team stinks,
means more when you beat them.
Like,
yeah,
because right. Because if we beat them and they suck, it's like we beat them at the end of the year and it was like, well, they stink this year. They don't stink this year, but they're injury ravaged and backup quarterback. And so, I mean, whatever. But when they're good and we beat them and we owned the Niners for that like 5-year run where both teams were good and that was great for us. But now they're talking shit when they're out of the playoffs. And I'm like, well, I don't. Is this real? That seems like an odd way to approach. But anyway, that's good. That's an Eagles fan because
family's from Philly.
Yeah.
Okay. So like my mom was born and raised in Philly. My brother was born and raised in Philly. My dad lives in Jersey. And
so you going to pre-order a Nate Sudfeld jersey or what?
God, no. I have a Darren Sproles jersey and I almost bought a Carson Wentz jersey.
And how'd you pull it there?
Let me tell you, that is Carson Wentz is the last time I ride or die for a mediocre white man because I rode his dick metaphorically for years.
Well, we're not getting promoted on this podcast.
Because I ride or died him for years.
Yeah.
And then last year, I was like, well, he doesn't have any receivers. He's playing with Circuit City employees. So, like, you know, he's trying his best. And then this year, I'm like, oh, he's a two-pack of ass. Oh, okay, got it. Okay.
What happened? He was really good.
He was really good. And then he had his first injury. And I think it was just, even though he recovered physically, I think it was just one of those cases where he just never recovered mentally.
Yeah.
And I think just that alongside the fact that he gets injured, and then the backup quarterback, Nick Foles, who has the biggest dick in history, comes on with his giant dick and beats the Patriots. Like, that had to add another
layer. Now, is that a confirmed, are we talking in just in theory for being a backup that wins the Super Bowl?
I've heard this before.
Nick, but is he...
So it started because...
Did TMZ steal some photos or what's going on here?
That Big Dick Nick started because one of the Eagles players, like either on Instagram or Snapchat or in an interview, was just like, yeah, Nick Foles has the biggest jockstrap I've ever seen. Like, that man has the biggest dick I have ever seen in my entire life. So ever since then, it's just been Big Dick Nick. And it's when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, people were chanting in the streets, all genders, all sexual orientations, all races, all ages were yelling Big Dick Nick. Nick Foles wrote a book.
Did you go back for like the Super Bowl parade?
No, I wanted to and I didn't. And I just, that's one of my biggest regrets in my entire life because I really could have caused some real property damage on some businesses that I hate in Philly. But I remember.
You got around to it a few years later. Don't worry about
Yeah. So Nick Foles, after he went to the Rams, he was super depressed because he was just dog shit at the Rams. And he was very much contemplating just quitting the league. And he was very depressed, very down. And his wife was like, you know, if you playing in the NFL is not the thing anymore, you have to trust, like, because they're both religious. So his wife was like, that might be God's purpose that you don't play in the NFL anymore. Or maybe it is your purpose to play in the NFL. So why don't you pray on it and see how you feel? So Nick Foles prayed on it, was about to retire. And he was like, you know what, God, give me a sign if I'm supposed to play in the NFL still. He gets offered to be the backup in Philly. So he's like, all right, fuck it, whatever. Goes to Philly and then ends up winning a Super Bowl for the team. Now he's like a national hero in Philadelphia.
Well, fuck, but I'm going to be religious now. Start sure. praying.
But like he wrote a book about that journey and he was
called
on a
confirmation
book.
Bias. Don't do it.
His book, he went on a book basically about writing a Christian book about, you know, praying to God about your purpose and all that. And on this Christian book tour, people were showing up with Big Dick Nick shirts.
That's great. Is the book called Big Cock Christ?
No.
That was BC before cock.
It's called I Love My Man JC. C stands for cock.
Yeah. That's great.
I love all of it. It's super fun. We in this pandemic, we've gotten by through binging TV. That's one of the things that I've done. And getting on TikTok. Let's see. Two things I've binged. I think I've watched all of Netflix and all the apps. Have you been binging shows? Are you on TikTok? What's the deal with you? What are you?
Oh, so I've been on a real reality TV binge. I have expanded to like 90 Day Fiance, which is a fucking...
I was just
going to
guess that because, you know, yeah.
Fucking mess. I love that show. Is amazing. I would much rather die alone with a dry dick than be any of the people on 90 Day Fiance. Holy.
That's a strong statement.
Holy shit. I would rather, nothing against turning asexual, but I would rather be asexual than be like, I'm going to marry someone.
Nothing against Andrew, but.
yeah, nothing against Andrew, but I'd rather be asexual than find a wife in Yugoslavia. Like, I just, that's not the move.
I might need to watch that one. I think I'd enjoy it. Anyway,
watch the latest season of Before the 90 Days. That's the one with the dude, Ed, who looks like fucking...
Little guy, yeah, the shrunken.
Yeah. Okay. He looks like, what's his name? What's the he looks like Tweedledee from Alice in Wonderland. I've also been watching all of the like Netflix reality shows like The Circle, Love is Blind, Too Hot to Handle. Right now I'm watching Love Island season 2 of the UK version, which is fucking amazing.
Jesus.
If it weren't for this job and this bracket, would you
probably not
that tip your skill? Was that the tipping point, Malcolm Gladwell's tipping point for you to
I think I probably would have ended up like, if I never watched reality shows, but then obviously COVID still happened. What if that's the reason why COVID happened? Because I got into that's the butterfly ABC effect. I'm just like, no, I would probably still would have watched the ones on Netflix because everyone talked about it. And I'm someone who,
yeah,
people talk about something enough, a part of me is like, well, I don't want to feel left out.
Yeah. I got to at least have a take on this kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. But I've also, in quarantine, I've been watching, like, I just finished watching season 2 of Mandalorian, which is fucking fire. I also been like slowly getting into anime and been watching like a show here and there. But not really, just like a couple shows. And
interesting.
I think there's like other stuff that I just can't remember off the top of my head. But and then also, yeah, like just been like TikTok as well, just posting shit, hoping the youths will like me. And so
you
far
got a
they
good
do.
Series going with this. What your top artists on Spotify say about you?
Yeah, that's been a
you
lot of fun to
love,
do.
Love like judging people.
It's
based
funny
on the smallest amount of this is really you watch one episode of The Bachelor and you're like, fuck that whore, she's the devil, I know everything. And you know, you seem like you got a good sense of people right off the bat, because in I think it was part 9 or part 10 you did I made fun of Monica. I don't know if you knew that directly, but
Oh, Monica's a Florence in the Machine fan?
Yeah, yeah. So she.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You said if your top artist is Florence in the Machine, you're.
You either do too many edibles at a concert and end up rolling in the grass, or you're lesbian.
Yeah.
And let's check out for Monica.
So I tagged her in the post and she's like, why can't I be both? That's
great. It's definitely because, like, the reason why I'm not going to do anymore. And the only reason why is just because now the artists people want me to do are so small, like obscure. Niche and obscure, yeah. And specific, that it's just like literally the judgments I have to make are so like on a surface level that, like, that's what made the first couple ones. That's why people liked it so much, in my opinion, was just like, it was so accurate. Whereas now I'm just shooting in the dark. And I just don't want to
repeating artists on accident.
Yeah, I'm repeating artists on accident. And people are taking it very personally. Like, one person's just like, how the fuck can you call Kendrick basic? I'm not basic. I'm like, bitch, I listen to Kendrick. Like, you can see music, on the screen, I liked 64 of his songs. I am also basic. Like, it's fine. There's definitely some that are personal texts because I know people who listen to them. And I'm like, I need you to hear this. But overall, it's just like, yeah, that was a lot of fun to do. I'm trying to find a new thing to
duet one of them. I'll just pretend like you made fun of one of my, I don't even have Spotify, but I'll just pretend like one of them is mine and duet it and piggyback off of your success and steal.
That is,
It helps both of us. So that's
Go ahead. I don't
sure. Yeah. Hey.
there are some people who are like, what if I don't have Spotify? I'm like, you still listen to these people. Like, it's just
right.
I have Apple Music. I'm like, well, then you know what? You suck. Like, how about that? You suck.
I was kind of thinking about it. Like, I think I even texted you or something. Like, I use Tidal, which means I haven't listened to new music since Jay-Z's album or whatever. You know, like, whatever.
This doesn't apply to me because I watch Netflix. I don't even have Hulu. Right?
Well, yeah. You're stupid. Okay.
I've used all three streamings because, like, I used Tidal to listen to Kanye's new album and Jay-Z's new album. I used Apple Music to listen to Drake's new album. And I just standardly have Spotify. And, like, to be fucking honest, they're all the exact same thing. It's just a matter of, like, what's your preference in the UI design? And, like, yes, Tidal pays the artist better. And, like, if I was to switch, I would want to switch to Tidal because, you know, that's cool.
Support Black-owned business, you know?
Yeah, well, that too. but it's one of those where it's like, there's no, when people are like, I listen to Apple Music because I'm cooler. I'm just like, your mother didn't love you enough. And then now you're trying to find validation from the
music. You should do what your streaming service says about you, part one.
Ooh, I could do that. I have been thinking of, like,
Pandora, what does that say about me? I've never opened a box.
I have been thinking of doing, like, just like a similar thing, but finding different stuff of, like, what this said. Like, I was thinking about doing, like, what Seattle
your
neighborhood.
Opening line on Tinder says about you. What
I want to do one where it's like, if you have this in your, like, Hinge profile, this is what it says about you. But there's already so many people who do that where I'm just
okay, that makes sense.
I just don't want to, I don't want it. I know at the end of the day, it doesn't fucking matter, but I just don't want it to seem like I'm trying to copy from people. And I was thinking about doing like, even though I'm not a native Seattleite, like, what Seattle neighborhood you live in, what it says about you. But then I just don't want a bunch of angry natives in my messages. Just like, fucking took that back about Ballard, you bitch. I'm just like, I'm sorry. Like, you live in Ballard and you claim you're native and you hate gentrification, even though Ballard's the most gentrified neighborhood in this fucking city.
Yeah.
Like, just like things like that.
Proving your point with this message. nobody gets that mad when it's not true. You just go, oh, I don't think that's accurate. you only get mad when you're like, that's spot on. I'm going to tell them I'm pissed. Yeah. Man. Well, have you been working on any new bits? I mean, that's, you said you need to do some more.
Yeah, I haven't been writing as much as I should. But because just for me, it's really hard to like come up with a premise and then not really have any way to work on it.
Yeah.
So sucked. But
you seem like a, I mean, I could be wrong, but I want to say I'm a fan of your comedy. Well, so I don't you. Hope this doesn't sound like an insult, but it feels like you do a lot of like not writing on stage, but you need sort of need that feedback from the audience to be like
1000%. I know 1000%.
I was kind of like a ranty, like are you guys feeling me or am I way off? Yeah.
I personally, because for the longest time when I was trying to like sit down and write, like obviously like that's an important skill and all that. And I just ended up never trying a lot of my new jokes because I would just overthink it and be like, oh, this isn't good enough yet to go on stage. And then like in 2018, I just ended up being like, fuck it. I have some sort of idea of what I want to do. I'm going to go on my stage and just force myself to figure it out. And the reason why I do that is solely because my brain works its best when I don't have time to second guess. So that's really why it's not like, I know there's some people who are like, I just write on stage because fuck right. Yeah, yeah. Like, no, I wish I could sit down and write, but some of my best bits came from the fact that I just went on stage and just kept doing it, trying to figure it out.
So now during this, are you writing down like premises and you're like, I think I'll get to this rant later when things, so then you can at least approach it with like an open book there. Yeah.
That's basically what I've been doing, where I've been writing premises and just trying to like try to figure, but it's just been hard because it's like, I don't have that ability to just go on stage and try to figure it out. So that's
one reason.
Have you
done any live shows? Have you? Yeah.
I've done a bunch of Zoom shows and I've done two actual, I did one live show and then I did another show where a guy, I won't say who, but a guy who he was like, hey man, I'm a part owner of this place. I thought you were really funny at this show. I saw you. What if I pay you to just come for my daughter's 18th birthday and just do a show for us in our vacation rental? And I did it, and it was one of the weirdest but most fun things I've ever done.
You're like 18, correct? Right.
It was very,
all her friends are her age or older, right?
But that was fun. But yeah, I just haven't really had much opportunity to, so I haven't been writing as much as I wanted to. But I need to just get back on doing Zoom shows and get over the awkwardness of it. And so then I can you know, obviously get more material and stuff like that. But yeah.
I had a fun premise about girls. I think girls have hot privilege. Like sometimes you like flirt with them. And then like, I feel like as soon as they find out you're interested, then they go, oh, well, now you gotta come get it. And I'm like, can you meet me halfway? Like, can you just... Like white privilege, but hot, they just want you to crawl through broken glass and like all they send is one word answers. And I'm like, I can't, I don't know. I think you hate me now. So I give up. I don't know.
Two premises I've come up with that I really like, and they're both really dumb, but I like them. One is when you have a beard and you wear a mask, having a beard and wearing a mask means re-smelling the last pussy you ate. It's just.
Can you smell back 4 years?
And then the other premise was everyone always says.
If you don't wash it, it just ferments.
I mean, I want to say for the record, I wash my face. Like, I'm not a monster. I'm just saying the next morning.
I don't wash my mask.
So. Yeah. The next morning when I wake up, I'm like, I'm going to get some coffee. I'm just like, oh, Brittany. Ah, I
got to
call her.
like 1974, hopefully.
Age
2001.
Well, okay,
good
right.
year. Yeah.
The other premise is everyone always says that the most high pressure proposal is like if you're at a sporting event, like that's the most high pressure because it's like there's so many people. Yeah. Like, of course you're going to say yes. And I think because of COVID now, the most high pressure proposal you can do is proposing to the person you're stuck in quarantine with. Because like, of course they're going to fucking say yes. They haven't seen another person in months. And two,
and they don't have a place to live.
Yeah, they don't have a place to live. Like, where are they going to go? Of course they're going to say yes.
We signed a lease 2 months ago. Yeah.
Like, there's a pandemic.
Well, Kane and Kelsey got a divorce, so that didn't work out very well.
Well, that's right. And that's funny of like, signed a lease is funny because it's like, you do that first. So she's committed to a year. And then you're like,
well,
how
I
about
mean, there
eternity?
Are different levels of commitment. Yeah.
I used to have I got to revisit it because at the time that I tried it, it never worked. But I had a joke about that of just like, I've never been in a relationship long enough where we ended up living together. And because I've never experienced that. And I've always wondered, like, for all of the, how many couples whose relationships were saved because they couldn't afford to break the lease? Or they're just like yelling at each other, like, I fucking hate you. You cheated on me. You're a bitch. My whole family hates you. How much is it to break the lease? Okay, we can make this work for like 4 more months.
That's why you always get a second bedroom, you know, just like
just in case. Yeah.
You know, I mean, like I lived with a girl I dated, but we started as roommates. And then, you know, once you spend enough time around me, you just go, that's fine.
The defense wears down.
Yeah. They like the Grand Canyon, just time, you know, wear you down. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's interesting. I think you keep that. We kept separate bedrooms, and I mean, yeah, I don't know, whatever. I was 22 trying to do comedy and making fun of her every night. So I don't know why she didn't stick around. I can't imagine why that didn't work out well.
My new premise that it might be impossible for me to do as a bald white man, but it shouldn't be because it's positive. It's like a forward thinking, whatever. But
well, we have Chris here, so I mean, this is the good litmus test, you know.
Yes, yeah, I love the idea of being canceled by association.
on my own podcast, people who think Chris is black might be able to. Well, there's always this talk of like immigrants don't work hard enough and people don't work who are poor don't work hard enough and they should just work harder. And it's like, to me, it's like, I guarantee anybody who's ever worked in a field works way harder than any boss or manager you've ever had that you know what I mean? Like, and the reason I know is because no slave was made the owner of the like. Nobody made him the CEO. It's not like any slave owner was like, oh, I'm going to work in the field. You go run this shit because it's so much
harder. None of them worked so hard.
No, it was no like all of those stories of people being like, Bob started as a janitor and then now
in the mailroom. Yeah,
in the mailroom. And then now he's the CFO of Apple. Like, you know, there's never
you don't hear
like
that on the plantation.
there's never Toby started as a picker and then now
the slave
look
come
where
up.
He got today.
Now he runs the books of the plantation. That's not once.
Well, he started his own business and got his own slaves, and it
was very proud of him. I gave him a medal at the end. Yeah, it's the whole thing. Huh, yeah,
well, I chopped his foot off when he tried to run away.
We'll see if I can make it work, but I don't know. Well, shit, this was a great episode. You got interesting stuff to talk about, which is nice. Do you have any friends who are interesting? No, our guests have been great so far. So
yeah, sure, I can tell you some people.
Check out Chris's podcast, which is called, what is it, Chris?
We Didn't Get a Rose. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and I'm pretty sure Google Play.
Well, you should apply to be a bachelor.
I
represent for all the short kings out there.
Everyone's been trying to get me to apply to be a contestant. And Bo Johnson, who's also the homie and
he would
good
be
comic
a good
here,
pick. Eh? Oh,
he auditioned. He didn't get on. But we were talking like if I try to audition to be on The Bachelorette as a contestant, my audition tape is going to be like as if I'm on Shark Tank and I'm pitching me being a contestant. I've sure. thought about it, but one thing that scares me is like because people have to quit their jobs and put their lives on hold to be on that show. And they spend all of this money to buy nice clothes that can look good on TV. And it's just like, imagine, like, especially right now, imagine quitting your job to go on The Bachelor and Bachelorette during a pandemic. Just to not get a rose on night one. Like that's
what that lady who's like, I quarantined for 2 weeks. I had to get 4 COVID tests and I'm like, fuck, get kicked off night one. It's like,
too much pressure. That's why Katie brought a vibrator. She was smart. She was like, I'm at least surviving until week 2.
Well, she got a leave of absence. Luckily her job was She's like a got a real job with benefits.
Well, maybe yeah. We don't have jobs right now, so maybe this was our year. We might have missed out.
You should have done it. You should have applied.
There's a bachelorette coming up next, I assume, right? It's got to be close to casting or filming or something.
I should bring a pocket pussy, you know? Be like, hey, I just want to pass the torch to you.
As soon as you hand it to her, just these two security guards come up. You're like, no, I know where the exit is. It's fine.
I got it.
I'm still packed. It's fine. I knew what was going to happen.
Andrew J. Rivers on Instagram. Please follow me.
She flags the memo down.
It's like still dripping. It's clean. I just watched it.
And then after that, as merch, you can just sell pocket pussies with your at on it.
Yeah, absolutely. You can make, I haven't looked into it, but there's a clone of Willy service where you can get an actual mold of your own phallus there, so I'll look into that. Maybe
fallacy. It's Chris, it's Topher Mejia on all the apps, Topher Mejia. But his name's Chris, and
follow me on Twitter. I tweet about coochie. Follow me on Instagram. I post thirst traps. Follow me on TikTok. I post TikToks.
What part of the city do you live in?
I live in Ballard now. Okay. Oh, yeah, I know. I just shit on it, but yeah,
just shit on Ballard all day.
I'm a part of the problem.
Yeah,
good for you.
Well, I love walking around Ballard because every time I do, the white people in Ballard are like, they look at me and they're like, "Good for him." He's doing. Well,
he made it.
I miss walking around. I don't walk around Everett. Like it is.
Yeah, why would you?
You can't walk up and down Casino Road and Highway 99.
Well, you can, but a few nice gentlemen might pull over and offer you a job.
Exactly. That's great. It's Andrew at Andrew J. Rivers on all of the things, and at Corey Michaelis Comedy on all of the things. Check us out on Patreon for the video. Chris is very handsome, so check that out. And we'll maybe do some bonus content otherwise. I got a gal emailed or messaged me on Instagram. I was like, hey, can I give you some feedback on the podcast? And I was like, nah, maybe. And then I was like, no, go ahead. Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to hear it. And then she's like, oh, now I feel like a dick. And I was like, well, you don't have to either way. And she's like,
we won't listen to you, so it doesn't matter.
That's what I said. I said, I'll listen to it, but I might not heed your warning. And then I just read the DM. I should have read it before. It's actually pretty good feedback. So
all right.
Me and Andrew will talk and we will.
You said no more black guys on the podcast.
He's listening live right now. And she's like,
last one, baby.
Hey, you made it in. You're like Ballard. We got to build a wall and cut it off here.
So
raise that bridge. Well,
yeah, right. Anyway, shout out to apples_Dan on Instagram. I don't know why that's her Instagram, but she has great feedback, and we'll maybe heed some of this, and you'll hear it on the next episode. That's the end of episode 25. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Goodbye.